Great news. There's a quick way you can save money. Switch to GEICO. GEICO could help you get great coverage at a great price. And it only takes 15 minutes to see if you could save 15% or more on car insurance. Go to GEICO.com today and see how much you could save.
Woo, woo! Good Tuesday morning, everybody. Hope your day is off to a fantastic start. Good morning, LZ. How are you, my friend?
What's up, sweet tea? I am in a fantastic mood, my friend. I just accomplished something I did not think. I accomplished something I did not think would ever going to happen for me, at least not a couple years ago.
Go on.
I have my very first front page article in today's Los Angeles Times.
Hey, oh, that's very great. First. Congratulations.
Yes.
Congratulations. That is no small achievement. That is that I'm still waiting for mine. The fact that I don't write for the LA Times probably has something to do with it as well. But that's great. Congratulations.
Right. That could be problematic for you, Travis, but just keep digging in.
Yeah, it's a tough first hurdle.
I never thought that the front page ever meant anything to me, but I think it's because I've been gone from newspaper for so long that when I saw it, I was like going, my face is on the front page.
Must have been a slow news day.
It's on Bubba Wallace, you ass.
Well, Bubba. Everything seems to be about Bubba Wallace and NASCAR right now. We spent a good portion of the day yesterday talking about the absolute awful thing that took place over the weekend when somebody hanged a noose in his locker, or excuse me, in his garage over the weekend. And then yesterday they actually got around to running the race. It was delayed on Sunday because of the weather. They ran the race yesterday, and there were a couple of moments of really incredible gestures of the right kind of humanity. We talked so much about the ugly side of what we do, but we saw the drivers rally around him. We saw one of the legends of the sport, Richard Petty, rally around him. Bubba Wallace was moved to tears at one point after the entire field walked behind his car and pushed it to the front of the grid. It was incredibly emotional and the visually stunning to see that happened. And look, NASCAR has been getting beat up for a lot of reasons, good reasons, but they had a good day yesterday in their response to that ugliness with the news.
Yeah, it was an amazing visual. You know, I watched it live because I was curious as to what they were going to do. It reminded me a lot of when the Los Angeles Clippers came out to play in the playoffs after the Donald Sterling situation with the tape. You're just curious to see how the players were going to respond. You know, you get the sense that had there been a huge crowd, there would have been a tremendous applause because no one wants to be caught with their hands in their pocket during this particular time. Mm-hmm. It would have been an even greater visual and a great emotional wave that would have swept through. But guys, as I wrote about, as we talked about before air, Bubba Wallace's fight is not with the noose. NASCAR's fight is not with the noose. The noose is an egregious, thinly veiled, if veiled at all, threat against a man's life, and people spoke out against it, and it was disgusting. But the reason why Bubba Wallace is on everyone's mind is because he said, let's remove this flag. And we all know that the flag was still present, even though it wasn't in the run at the race, inside the raceway, it was still very present on race day. And on top of that, we also know that somebody that was walking behind Bubba saying Black Lives Matter, we shall overcome, you know, power to America, somebody hung that noose.
Yeah.
Or someone walking behind Bubba knows who hung that noose. And so it was a beautiful visual. I was glad to see them rally around each other, Travis. But I still am wondering what NASCAR is going to do now that the Confederate flag is fighting back.
Yeah, it's funny you say that. We were talking a little bit before we came on the air this morning. As I was watching them push his car to the front of the grid, as I was watching the picture of Bubba Wallace standing near his car, taking the selfie with all the drivers and crew members gathered together behind him, and it was a powerful, powerful piece of video and photograph, I couldn't help but think one of those guys probably did it. You know, I don't know if it was one of the drivers. I don't know if it's one of the crew members, you know, one of the guys that runs the jack or puts on the tires or puts fuel in the car or whatever it is. But there's a very small number of people that had access to that garage. And those people that were pushing his car out to the front of the grid are some of those people that had access to the garage. And the odds of the person who committed that crime being in that group are pretty high. It's a pretty likely scenario where the very same person who put that noose there was one of the people pushing his car out and taking that picture and standing and applauding and doing all of those things, because we're not talking about an area that was open and you had tens of thousands of people going through it. We heard it yesterday. We're talking about a pool of roughly 900 people, which in the grand scheme of things is not very big. So the person right. that did that is in that pool and probably in that picture. Now, you know, NASCAR is saying and doing the right things. I guess let's take a listen here to Steve Phelps, who's the NASCAR president, saying that it was a difficult moment for Bubba Wallace and for NASCAR itself.
Yes, I have spoken to Bubba. In fact, I'm the one that informed Bubba that this act had happened. You know, it's a difficult moment for Bubba. It's a difficult moment for me. But he is, you know, he's handled it with the grace that he has handled you know, everything that's happened over the last few weeks. And, you know, with respect to the car, you know, that's something that we did allow the team to look at and make sure the car was in good shape. I won't get any specifics about, you know, what that is, but yes, the team was allowed to do that.
You know, when he mentions the respect that he has for Bubba, I'm not a NASCAR fan. I don't really watch the races very often. And I know some of the biggest names in the sport because they just pop up on TV, you know, the Jimmy Johnsons and Jeff Gordons and Dale Earnhardts and stuff like that. But it really is remarkable how Bubba Wallace has handled all this, because it would be so easy to say, you know what, I don't want to be here anymore. Clearly, this is not an environment for me. This is not an environment that supports me. The fans don't want me here and all of these things. And that he has continued to talk about it the way he has, continued to react the way he has. And then, oh, by the way, LZ, that man has to get in a car at 200 miles an hour and drive in traffic and pass people and do all sorts of God knows what to try to win a stock car race, that he can go out there and do that. He finished 14th yesterday. That's not easy. And to be able to handle it the way that he has, to be able to compete the way that he has, it is remarkable that he has handled it all as well as he has, because I don't think too many people would be able to balance not just trying to drive a race car, but also deal with trying to be the tip of the spear when it comes to changing the culture of a sport that's had a Confederate fervor, that's had a redneck bent, whatever you want to call it, that I'm the one that said we need to take this down. I'm the one that says this is not okay. I'm the one that's getting all of this hate directed at me. I'm the one that had a noose hanged in my garage. I'm the one that has to deal with all this stuff. He's been a remarkable ambassador for his sport, for humanity, quite frankly, that he goes out there and has done what he's done is remarkable.
Absolutely. And, you know, I love interviewing those brave first. You know, I haven't had a chance to do a great deal of them, but I got a few, Travis, in my repertoire of mm-hmm. those brave first, the people who, you know, I've spoken to Hank Aaron. You know, I've spoken with President Obama. I've spoken with Billie Jean King, Jason Collins, people who are too busy making history to know that they're making history, if you know what I mean.
Mm-hmm.
That people underestimate the mental toll of exactly what you're talking about, being heaped on top of everything else that they have to accomplish. Like, there's an underappreciation of that. And, you know, what Bubba did after having his life threatened. And yeah, you know, he saw the rallying and support, but he's thinking just like us. Somebody behind me either hung that noose or knows who did it. You know what I'm saying? Like,
of course,
it's absolutely amazing that he's able to keep it together. But you know, Travis, when you look at history, you don't see the perfect people; you see the perfect moments. You know, history is composed of the right moments. And, you know, obviously Bubba did win the race. The Disney version of this is he finishes, you know, by, you know, 3 or 4 inches, and they have to review the tape, and they say he wins, and then everyone cheers, and then it's like going, yay, race is behind us. You know, but this isn't Disney. He finished 14th, and there's an element of this conversation about whether or not too much attention is being given to someone who finishes 14th in a race, because I can't tell you who finished first, right? But this isn't about him being the perfect athlete or the perfect result or the perfect story. This is about the perfect moment. And I had an opportunity to speak to another first, Dr. Franklin, who was the first Black student admitted to Auburn University. He is born and raised in Talladega, where the race took place. He still works there part-time in Talladega. And he talked about his experiences with me in that area and what it's like with that Confederate flag flying above, and how he obviously didn't seek out to make history. He just wanted to an education. But he needed the FBI to help him walk past the state troopers that were blocking the entrance so that he can go in and get that education. Not a perfect person, but the perfect moment. Bubba Wallace, you know, God bless you, because the moment came and you were perfect within that moment. And now it's about the hard work of NASCAR. Now it's about fighting the flag, because the flag has decided to fight back. And now we're going to wonder, when is it going to impact the money, Travis? When are people going to start talking about boycotting? When is the president going to really turn his laser focus on your sport and start talking about it? He's already passed a bill. He's already just passed an executive order criminalizing the defacing of these Confederate monuments. It's only a matter of time before he looks over at you and start asking, what are you doing with that flag? So it's going to be interesting, Travis, to see what happens in this fight.
Yeah, it's not done. It was a nice moment yesterday. Some great visuals coming out of it. But like you said, far, far from over. In fact, there was another reported incident here in California, the different track that we'll talk about coming up a little bit later on as well. Baseball may actually have a deal that apparently nobody really wanted, but we have a deal potentially. That's next on The Morning Show on 710 ESPN. You know, LZ, with your phrasing a minute ago about how it's the perfect moment, not necessarily the perfect person, but the perfect moment and somebody who can seize that moment, your piece on the front page of the Times, I think, is a reflection of that. And that just that this is – sports does not get put on the front page very often. It does after a team wins a championship, maybe if there's a shocking news story, the death of Kobe Bryant, for instance. But it's very rare where something in the sports world makes its way to the front page of the news section like your piece about Bubba Wallace did. And I think this is what you were talking about, right? That this is a perfect moment in time. We are not turning away from this. We're not just going, okay, yeah, that's a shame. And who plays tonight? What time is the Laker game? What time do the Dodgers play? You know, are the Rams going to make any moves? It's we are watching this. We are feeling this every single day like it's just happening in the moment, and this is one of those moments, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely, Travis. I mean, it is ironic that, as you know, appropriately say, that sports columns, particularly just sports stories, usually aren't A1 stories. The two that are on are Bubba Wallace and baseball starting up again. Mm-hmm. You know, two very incredible moments in time that don't come around very often. But because of the pandemic and its impact on sports like baseball, and because of the protests and all the tentacles that have expanded from it, you know, sports on the front page, but also on the front lines, you know, because we also have a president who likes to target sports when he's trying to make a larger point about his platform, whether it's the NFL and the protesting that's happening. You know, he says some things about the NBA. He's gone back to the NFL now. As I mentioned before, you know, it's not only a matter of time before NASCAR finds itself in the conversation. And so it's such an amazing, like, I wasn't born in the 60s. I didn't live through the 60s. I studied the 60s, but I didn't experience the 60s. And I have to think that there's got to be some of that energy that's permeating through our society right now, Travis. This yearning for change and people in the streets and being relentless about it. You know, like, not... to your point, not being distracted by anything else. Mm-hmm. You know, back in the 60s, they were protesting the Vietnam War. There were gay rights. There were civil rights. There were women's rights. And everyone's in the streets and they're all pushing the country forward. And here we are again, where we're looking and we're like, wow, this isn't dissipating. This isn't, you know, drying up.
I was really worried about that. And I told you and Key is, you know, a bunch of times I'm worried that they were just, this isn't going to last. This isn't going to last. Well, I've never been happier to be wrong in my life. I've never been happier to see people continue to be upset in my life. To people continue to feel a certain way in my life, because that's how it changes. That's how it changes. That we don't just get distracted to go back to whatever's coming up next. Because guess what? What's coming up next is
what?
More of a typical way of the way that we do things in the sports world. Basketball, we're getting close to a month away from basketball. We know that football is going to start more or less on time. And now baseball, it appears, has a start date. Well, I don't know if I'm going to give it a whoop whoop because they got
it's
here
a whoop,
out of
whoop, Travis.
Is it a whoop
okay,
whoop?
Okay, you know what? All right, here. How about this? Because they lost 100 games, let's just give it a whoop. Just one.
I would give it a whoop if they actually came to an agreement. They didn't come to – what they get is a – you know what they get for me? They don't get a whoop-whoop. They don't get a whoop. They get a – all right. All right. Because here's what happened. Here's what happened. Right. These guys, the owners sent a proposal to the players for a 60-game season and full prorated and playoff money and expansion of the rules and all the stuff that we've talked about. And the players said, "Now we're good." So then the owners went, "Okay, well, we're just going to do it anyway." And the players are going to vote on it and say, "Yeah, okay." Nobody actually agreed to anything. Basically what happened is the clock ran out. The clock ran out, and we got to the point where it read 000, and the owners are saying, all right, we have enough games to where we can actually put a product on the field so we don't miss a season, but not so many games where we're actually going to have to pay these guys the amount of money that they wanted to play 100 games or 80 games or one of these things, and you could actually have some semblance of a regular season. We ran the clock out long enough, so we're going to get our 60-game season. We're going to have our playoffs. We're going to do it like that. Nobody fixed it. They just basically let the clock hit 000, and now they've got a 60-game season, which I'm not going to front. I'm not going to pretend that I'm not going to watch it. I will. But a 60-game baseball season is real, real stupid. It's real, real stupid. It is a fraction. It is about a third of a regular season. And what makes baseball fun, what makes baseball interesting, to me at least, is that over the course of 150, 60 games – you know who the best teams are. You know who's playing well. You're going to have some ups and some downs, and you get there, and then we go into a postseason that's kind of a crapshoot. There will be, I guarantee it, there will be teams in this postseason that are not good teams. I guarantee you there will be good teams that do not make the postseason simply because they're playing a fraction of the season. This is a stupid, stupid idea. I'll watch it because I love baseball. I want to watch Mike Trout play. I want to watch Mookie Betts play for the Dodgers. I want to watch Cody Bellinger try to win another MVP. But this is a really stupid plan to play 60 games of Major League Baseball.
Well, let me see. Yep, I just checked. No lies detected.
No lies detected. He's clean. He's clear.
He's clean. He's clean. Come on through. We checked the receipt at Costco. You can go out there and get your purchases. You're right, Travis. This is absolutely ridiculous. Because if you truly just wanted 60 games, you could have already started playing them.
Yeah.
Like, if you're going to screw up the season with a 60-game, you know, sort of itinerary or schedule, then you might as well have already been in the midst of it, so you at least have everyone's eyeballs for your 60 games. Not only do you only have 60 games, you don't even get a head start on basketball. You don't even get a head start on the NBA. Who do you think really matters most in the city right now? AD and LeBron or Cody and Mookie? Because I'm going to lean towards AD and LeBron.
Of course.
So I'm sitting here and I'm like going, let me get this straight. Not only did you screw up by lapping 100 games off of your regular season, which is already, you know, a sad commentary on how your season's too long. If you can cut 100 damn games and you still got 2 months left, maybe you need to think about everything else that you're doing in baseball. But that's another conversation, Travis. It's another conversation.
Yeah, well,
it's
I mean,
that you. It's that not only that part, but it's like if you're going to sacrifice your season in this way, why make it competitive against the NBA?
Yeah.
Why do that to yourself?
Think about it. They're going to come back at roughly the same time. Basketball is going to start on July 31st. Baseball is going to start 1 week ahead on July 24th. Okay. So we're talking about a 1 week gap where baseball will be played and no basketball will be played. Let's just do a little game like you were doing a second ago. the season restarts and baseball will have played a couple of weeks of games and basketball will have basically gone through their 8-game end of the regular season. And now you've got another 50 games, give or take, of Major League Baseball regular season, air quotes. And now I've got LeBron and Anthony Davis trying to go win a championship. I've got Giannis trying to win a championship. I've got the Clippers for the first time ever trying to make a run and win a championship with Kawhi Leonard and Paul George and Doc Rivers and a really good team, a really fun team to watch. I got a chance of an inner city rivalry here for the first time ever because those are the two best teams in the West. The Dodgers, quite frankly, and I know it's, I just said that you're going to get weird teams, Dodgers are going to win enough games to go into the playoffs, and so I don't have to watch any of that. Because I know they're going to get in. This is the plan that they chose to execute, to go up against the second most popular sport in the world in the middle of their playoff run with LeBron James and Kawhi Leonard competing for the same thing in the same city, and you guys blanked around until we got to where you're going to go head-to-head with that. Great decision, fellas. Great decision.
Great decision. Well done. Now, I get it. You were trying to save money. You know, and you're trying to squeeze the players. I get it. I get it from that perspective. But do you get it? Baseball, do you get what you've done? What you've done to yourself? Do you understand what you could have had? It literally is like you had a blind date with Beyonce, but you wanted to stop by McDonald's first and you were late and you missed her. Now, you were hungry. You were hungry.
So the McRibs were in. The McRibs were back.
Nobody eats the McRibs. Stop it.
I do.
Oh, shoot, dude. I do. KYP, know your personnel. So it's like you were hungry. So I get it. You were really hungry. But because you stopped and cheated yourself with McDonald's, you missed an opportunity to be with Beyonce. That's what you did, baseball. I get it. You were trying to save money. I understand it. But because you were trying to do that, you missed the bigger prize, which was our hearts. Because if you had our hearts, the money's never going anywhere. Never. No. Just imagine what you could have had with just having baseball on our minds throughout all of June, barely into the 4th of freaking July.
Yep.
And instead, you just decided to eat at McDonald's. Maybe you got the McRib. Maybe you just got a couple of chicken nuggets. I don't know. I just know you blew off a chance to be with Beyonce and, yes, never coming back.
I just hope baseball enjoys the Minnesota Twins against the Atlanta Braves in the World Series because you're going to get something like that. You're going to get – and look, if maybe baseball is going to get super lucky. Maybe this will break exactly the way that they hope it does, that from the beginning – because here's what they could sell. Whether they're right or not, time will tell. But what they could sell is, look – every game is going to matter. You need to watch the first game down to the 60th game because every single one of these, you don't have 6 months to catch up. If you fall behind in a couple of weeks, you're in deep trouble. We're going to get the Dodgers and the Yankees in the World Series. You're going to get Aaron Judge against Mookie Betts. You're going to get Cody Bellinger against Gary Sanchez. You're going to have Dodger Stadium and Yankee Stadium on TV in a World Series that feels huge and a sprint to get there. That would be a perfect scenario. The problem is baseball never works out like that. Baseball never works out where you get exactly what you'd like to see. You always get some random team that's going to show up in there, and good luck with that, baseball. Good luck.
But Travis?
And, yeah.
But Travis, as God is my witness, if Detroit Tigers win this year's World Series, I'm celebrating like we played 162.
I doubt it.
I'm not going to be it. I'm a party like we did 162, bro. If we win the World Series, just let you know.
LZ, there was another Mike Tyson video that dropped, and I have not been more excited in a very, very long time. I'll explain next in the morning show on 710 ESPN.
GEICO gets you access to licensed agents 24/7, which means that GEICO is always there for you. If only everyone was always there for you. Like your mom, when you fill out really, really important paperwork on the first day of a new job.
Name, check. Birthday, Social Security, is that a thing? Hey, mom, what is my Social Security number? Mom? Okay, let's guess. 0017. Oh, Gemini. Hashtag done.
GEICO, always there for you with savings and 24/7 access to licensed agents.
LZ, you know how sometimes you get super excited for something and you're excited to share your enthusiasm with others? Like, hey, have you guys seen this? You know, you got to check this out. You guys are going to love this. And then there's always that one guy in the room that has to throw a bucket of cold water and go, yeah, but what about such and such? I've just identified Jorge. Jorge is that guy. Jorge is the guy that just had a giant bucket of cold water and just threw it right over my head because I woke up this morning. I saw the video of Mike Tyson, the latest Mike Tyson video. I'm going to be honest. Mike looks great. He looks fit. He looks really fast. He looks like he's got some power behind those punches. And I understand he's just training. He's hitting the mitts. He's hitting the body. He's doing those things. And he's just going through it. But Mike looks crisp and sharp. And I'm thinking, you know what? I can't wait to see him get in there again. I can't wait to watch Mike fight. And I can't wait to watch him get Evander Holyfield again because he's going to make it right after those two losses. And then Jorge sends me the video of Evander looking like Rocky 74 and just absolutely can't get out of his way and just slow and soft and just absolutely beat up. And thanks for nothing, Jorge.
Listen, it's just the Rona. The Rona's got a lot of us a little bit pudgier than usual. Trust. You give Evander the dangle a nice big check. Tell him, you know, this is the date. Give him a good 6 or 7 months for camp, and he's going to be fine. Right now, he's just, you know, messing around just to be messing around. Give him a goal. You know, some people need a goal in order to, you know, get hamstring shape and get it going. So, you know, I still want to see Mike fight a contemporary. I would much rather Mike fight and beat up a contemporary like Evander Holyfield, who's fat and slow right now, versus seeing him fight a soup can that I don't know, and I'm just like, okay, what am I supposed to get out of this?
Yeah, the problem with that is last time he fought soup cans that we don't know, that he lost the two of them. So I don't want to see him fight anything beyond the soup can. Let him fight the soup cans because he couldn't beat them last time.
Well, Evander has everything but a Campbell's label on his back at this point. I mean, he does not look great. He does not
look great. Is he chunky?
Yes, that's the problem. Evander's 57. Mike is 53. But Mike looks a lot better than Evander.
You put up a poll. Would you rather see him fight a tomato can or fight Evander?
I'd rather see him fight a tomato can right now. I'd rather watch him go out there and knock him out and go out there and be like, ooh, this is kind of interesting. I don't need to put him in there against another old man. Find a really bad 30-something guy and let Mike touch him up. Let Mike go do that. Because if he just gets in there.
That's an insult to Mike.
Is it more of an insult to put him in there against a soft Evander? I mean, I know it's kind of nostalgic and all of those things, but. Evander looks terrible, LZ.
And then we're going to have Evander do press conferences.
It's the Rona. Well, no.
Hey, Trav, then we're going to have Evander. No, we don't want that.
See? Raise your hand right now in your car or wherever you are if you got in shape during the quarantine.
I got in round shape.
Got out of shape during the quarantine.
I
used to have a six-pack. Now I can't even find any of the packs. I don't know what I did with them. I left
all the cans are missing.
All the cans, bro. Come on,
I am better than I was pre-corona. I don't have a six. I am. Yeah. No. I truly am. Because I went from basically no exercise to exercising 4 or 5 days a week. So I've gotten better. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm not going to be doing any underwear shoots anytime soon. But I'm better than I was 3 or 4 months ago. I would love to hear the people. Would you rather see Mike Tyson fight somebody you know, i.e. Evander Holyfield, or put Mike in there against a guy to just watch him beat somebody up? 877-710-ESPN. 877-710-ESPN. Because, look, if Mike gets back in the ring, we're going to watch it. And I don't think anybody is under the impression that Mike Tyson is going to recapture the heavyweight crown. That's not going to happen because I know that George Foreman did. When George Foreman started his comeback late in life, he was 38. Mike Tyson's 53. So we're talking about a 15-year difference in age. That being said, I really want to see Mike Tyson get back in the ring because he looks good. This isn't just
he looks really good.
And fast, LZ. That's the thing. That's one thing to cut some weight. It's one thing to put on some muscles. That's not easy to do. But that's easier to do than to rediscover your speed. And Mike Tyson's speed in these videos looks legit.
He absolutely And even like in the months that we started noticing him posting these videos, he's getting more and more fit, you know? So it's like, he not only has fast hands, but he's looking like he's got his legs. He's looking like he's hitting with the torque. He looks fit. And, you know, the knock on Mike, as you guys know, was that if you can make it through the first few rounds and mm-hmm. force him to box long term, you had a pretty good chance of winning that fight. You know, and I'm not sure if anything has changed, but it looks like it's going to be hard for you to get past those first few rounds if you're just a soup can. You know, that's what he looks like to me right now.
It's funny you
but
say
of course,
that.
Those mitts aren't punching back too. So
no, they're not. They're not. But what you just said about Mike, I'll never forget. I was in the MGM Grand Garden Arena the first time he fought Evander Holyfield, and what you did, Mike. You know, they ring that bell, and Mike comes charging across the ring like he always did, and he hit Evander with a flurry of punches. It felt like maybe 15 or 20 punches. It certainly wasn't that, but it was whap 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 whap. And usually, that's when the guy's on his heels, going back in the corner, just looking for a place to get the hell out of Mike's way or maybe lay down and call it a night. Evander just kind of goes, okay. And you could almost feel the energy just get drawn away from Mike Tyson. Like, and Mike had that, ah, God, I'm going to have to fight this guy moment. Just that, I can't believe it didn't work. This always works. I go out there, I flurry, guys are terrified of me, and they lay down. And Evander was not scared. It was one of those moments that I will never forget. Been very lucky to see a million different things in my career covering sports, but that moment where Mike hit him with that flurry of punches, and Evander didn't take one half step backwards, just said, all right, let's go. That's the first 10 seconds of the round. What else you got? You could feel Mike give up in that moment and just like, ah, crap, I'm going to have to fight this guy. It was an incredible display from Evander. That was Evander's greatest thing. Not only was Evander a great fighter, he was completely unscared of Mike Tyson, which almost no one else could say.
So I don't think he's scared of Mike now. And
yeah,
that's
but now
my
he's
point.
Carrying around just, 50 extra you, pounds. You,
yeah, that means it's going to be even harder for Mike to knock him out. He's just going to hit the fat, and the fat's going to absorb all of the blows. I mean, these are heavyweights, right? We're used to seeing him one way. It doesn't mean he can't present himself in another. I would just much rather, like, I just think the hype for them to get back together would be like the hype for Coming to America 2. The band is back together. The gang are back together. The boys are back together. This is like, if you're going to bring in Mike, man, just go ahead and bring back the party, man. Let's not substitute the party, you know, for a TikTok video. That's what you're suggesting. We're used to parties. So let's do the party, man. Let's do the party.
So very quickly, your favorite, and it doesn't have to be the one that you thought he had the best fight, but your most memorable Mike Tyson fight watching as a sports fan or a journalist was which one?
Oh, God, it's the ear.
It's the ear.
Because I had never seen that before.
Yeah.
I've never seen anything like that before, where someone just completely just snaps and bites off a man's ear. Like, I'm still just blown away that happened. And Mike is at the point in his life that we sometimes don't even think about it, because he's done so much other things, and with the Tigers and the plays and being in the Hangover movies and all of that. But he bit a man's ear, dog.
Yes, he did. I was there for that one, too.
From head of the class.
Yeah, that happened as well. I'll never forget. The one that I think of first was when he got beaten for the first time by Buster Douglas. When Buster Douglas is like, wait, Mike Tyson can get knocked out? Really? That's a thing that can happen in the world? Like, by the time he got to Holyfield, he'd already been beaten. We thought it was a fluke, and we thought that, okay, maybe that was just the worst night of his life or whatever. But seeing Mike Tyson search for his mouthpiece on his hands and knees was a visual I will absolutely never forget. You know what today is, right, LC?
Tuesday?
That's right, and it is a Top 10 Tuesday coming up next on the Morning Show on 710 ESPN.
Well, my friends, as you know, summer is here. There's all kinds of joy to be had in this world because summer is here. In fact, one of my favorite things to do this summer, we just got word that we'll be able to do, which is to see the summer blockbuster movies. Now, I know, I said I would never go to a movie theater ever again because it's super gross and, you know, the Rona.
Yeah, it's still out there.
It's still out there, but I'm going to be masked up. I'm going to mask it up because there's still some movies I want to see. And I know a lot of movies have been pushed back to 2021, but there are movies for 2020. So this is my top 10 list of movies I'm looking forward to seeing in the year 2020 still. Are you ready?
I'm ready. Yes.
All right. Coming in at number 10, the sequel to Top Gun, Maverick.
Ooh.
Yeah, I was just waiting for the song. There we go.
Woo! I knew something was coming.
I was like, okay.
Hey, the trailer looked tight, Elsie. I saw the trailer. The trailer looked tight.
Can Val Kilmer fit into the plane? The trailer looks
real tight. Let's not do that. Let's not do that, Travis. That's not – no fat shaming here, buddy. No fat shaming
I'm just asking.
Here.
He looks different now.
That is true. But Tom Cruise still looks the same. Shouts out to you, plastic surgery and working out. But, you know, it was a cool movie in the 80s. It was a cool movie in the 80s. And I'm just as to how they're going to handle, you know, the whole Tom Cruise as a teacher, you know, sort of storyline that the previews had us out there looking at. So Top Gun is number 10. Coming in at number 9 is a movie from Pixar called Soul, which is, I guess, supposed to be based on jazz music. I just like Pixar movies, so yeah. I'm going to watch it, what the topic is, and then figure it out on the back end.
Yeah, they don't miss very often.
No, they don't at all. And, you know, again, I'm assuming if you're parents and you've been locked up in a house with your kids for God knows how long, I'm going to assume you also are looking forward to Pixar and Soul. Number 8, The New Mutants. Which is another Marvel MCU, you know, kind of comic book movie. For those of you who are into the Marvel movies, as you know, the Infinity Saga has concluded. Thanos is dead. And The New Mutants is one of the first films that starts the new storylines that we'll be looking forward to for the next groupings. Number 7. Yes. I did not spoil it, by the way. Hush up. Now.
Wait, LZ, on your Marvel, I was having some drinks with someone that works for Marvel, and I asked a specific question. Are we ever going to see X-Men and what do you call those people? The mutants and all that, and Avengers mix? And he said, and he just did the zipper his mouth shut thing.
Ooh.
You know what I mean? Well, like, he zipped his mouth shut, and he said, I can't say. It's a top-notch secret. So there you go for that real quick.
There we go. Number 7, Bill and Ted Face the Music. Yes, just like I want to see Mike Tyson, Evander Holyfield, I want to see Bill and Ted for my youth as well.
Oh, boy.
I know that they're older, they're rounder, you know, they're not as fast, just like Mike Tyson, Evander Holyfield.
Well, I would imagine whichever one is Keanu Bill or Ted?
He is Bill, right? Or is he Ted?
I don't know.
I don't even remember.
Whatever one he isn't, the Bill or Ted, John the other Rick guy is. Needs to work.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. That's true. Alex Winter, for some reason, I remember his name. Oh, I know why I remember his name. Because he was also a Lost Boy, and Joel Schumacher, the director of Lost Boys, died yesterday. Mm. So there you go for useless trivia knowledge. Number 6. West Side Story.
They're remaking that?
Well, yeah, Travis. I mean, mm-hmm. Who has time for original thoughts?
Are you a jet or a shark, LZ?
Well, that's personal there, Travis. If you must know.
What about the Bears and Wolves?
And the Cubs and the Otters. I will go more jet, my friend. All what right. about you?
I think so, too. I think Jets, yes.
Jets. Right. Key would be proud of us. Number 5. Black Widow. Black Widow.
Mm, yes.
Whoa, what is this?
This is popped up, man.
I asked for the theme song to the Avengers. This isn't the theme song to the Avengers. This is like Friday the 13th or something. That's all right. There we go. Black. Now, as many of us know by now, she dies at the end of Infinity War. However,
you spoiled it again.
What Marvel is doing is giving us her backstory. Man, if you hadn't seen that movie by now, it's your fault. What they're going to do now is give us some of the backstory. And all I need to say to Travis is Scarlett Johansson
in
a cat suit.
I
mean, too.
There you go. Yeah. See?
I'm not the only one, by the way. Jorge's like, I have a feeling that there will be people that are excited to see this movie. Yes.
Exactly. Exactly. Number four, the live version of Mulan. Now, we were talking about Pixar and Disney films, you know, leading up to this. But Mulan is my favorite Disney movie. Like,
really?
ever. Yeah, I absolutely love that movie. The whole notion of, you know, this young lady fighting gender roles to defend her family and her country and all that good stuff. Oh, totally got into it. Plus, I love that Christina Aguilera song. So, they're doing a live version of it. And it looks like Mulan is going to be kicking ass like Black Widow. Number three, Coming to America, with two being two. Sequel. That's right, baby. Coming to America. Are you with me, Raj? Are you with
me,
Raj?
No, man. Don't mess it up. It's perfect, man. Don't touch it. Don't mess it up, man.
I'll tell you what. This one really has me nervous. The original is so iconic and so great and groundbreaking. I really worry about them taking another run at this and having it somehow make the original feel less special. It was too good. You can mess around with Top Gun because really, who cares? But if you mess around with Coming to America and you get it wrong, that's going to feel bad.
Well, it is going to feel bad, but I have all the confidence in the world in Eddie. I think Eddie is focused. I think he knows the stakes. You know, this is like, you know, Jordan coming back.
He made Vampire in Brooklyn, man.
Yeah, that's what he was just, you know, he was just trying
to... I'm worried.
Yeah, I'm with you, Raj. I don't... I hope I'm wrong. I hope I'm wrong, but I don't think I'm going to be.
Well, number two should make you happy, Dan.
All right.
It is Wonder Woman 2 coming out in October.
Sure.
Just like, you know, Black Widow in a cat suit, you have Gal Gadot.
Yep.
And not in a cat suit, even less.
We should have, like, I wouldn't hate if Linda Carter made the cameo in that either. That would be, I'd be all right with that. Just could throw a little bit.
You can always just go to YouTube whenever you want, Travis.
Don't worry about
Stay focused. Keep him focused.
Yeah.
All right. And then number one, which inspired this list, is the news that came out yesterday. Hamilton will be available on Disney Plus starting July 3rd. Super excited. I started looking for my Hamilton onesie. I couldn't find a Hamilton onesie on Amazon, so I've decided to buy brand new Hamilton pajamas. I'm going to throw a Hamilton little get-together with a couple of people socially distanced in my house, of course. And we're going to sing along with the musical, Travis. If you want, I can invite you and Susan. So I get the feeling that's a party you don't really want to go to, but I still want to invite you anyway just because it's going to be fun.
I by the way, I may take you up on that. That does sound fun. What is it? Is it like, are they going to shoot the stage and just rebroadcast the stage play, or did they create a movie?
So they, from the trailer, it looks as if the whole thing is on stage with like a thousand or different camera angles up ahead, below, the whole nine. Original cast members, which is amazing.
Mm. Yeah.
I am so stoked for this movie, and I know I'm not the only one. I mean, people, this is going to be an event. And there are so many people in the country who have heard about this musical, who want to see this musical, who have yet had a chance to see this musical. I was supposed to take Michelle Beadle with me to see it when it opened up here in L.A. Right. That was the week in which the world shut down. So she still hasn't seen the musical. I actually shot her a video, Travis, of Lee singing one of the songs just so she had an idea of what it looked like.
I'd like to see that video, by the way. We may have to put that up.
All right, I'll send it to you.
I would very much like to see it, and I am accepting your invitation. So I'll take a page out of the baseball players. Just when and where, LZ, and I will be there for the Hamilton party. Bubba Wallace had a good day at the track yesterday. NASCAR got some things right yesterday. Still a bunch of problems. That's next on The Morning Show on 710 ESPN.
Geico knows there are many reasons why you ride. From the thrill of the revving engine and pure adrenaline of flying down the highway. to the confidence of knowing that GEICO always has your back with 24/7 access to claims service. But Ari Snyder has one reason in particular.
I have extremely large upper arms. They won't even fit into most shirts. Thankfully, biking really embraces vest culture, so I feel accepted.
GEICO Motorcycle. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more.